No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 9th day of October. It's a joy to be here with you. I am so glad, so thrilled that you are here and making the Bible a part of your life. Our spiritual food. We do not eat once a week. We don't eat once a week on Sunday. And we don't eat someone else's food that just feeds it to us. We have to ingest it for ourselves, chew it up, taste it, savor it, and digest it. I've talked a little bit about my garden over the summer. I had this beautiful bird that built a nest in one of my real slender, I wanted just a slender, thin, but tall tree. I planted a couple, one on the side of the walkway to the path to the garden, and a little nest. And a little bird appeared one day when I had my granddaughter, and we were just peeking at the little bird popping its head out and watching it not even have its eyes open yet, not even able to see the world yet, but its mouth was open wide and its head was bobbing, just trying to look for food. And the mother bird was in the tree. She was hunting for worms. And she saw me looking at that baby bird and admiring it. I'm just standing there in awe of it with my granddaughter, who shares the awe and wonder of God's creation. She is just enamored with the awe and wonder of the little beautiful things all around us. And that bird flew over our head and squawked. She did not want me messing with her baby. It was her job to feed it in the way that she could. And as you may or may not know, mama birds get the worms, kind of chew them up a little bit and spit them until they're able to chew for themselves. It's kind of gross, but kind of cool. But that was so amazing to watch. She was so protective of her baby. If we could be as protective over what we are feeding our own selves. I am just not interested in the opinions of man like I used to be. I am just not interested in what my leaders that I admire believe and find to be truth, and where they put their vote and who they support. I am now interested in what God says through His Word. I can get fed from a lot of different sources, and I can ingest a lot of junk, and junk in, junk out. Junk in starts deteriorating your health after too long. It doesn't take very long, actually. I want good food, good, solid, spiritual food. And you are getting that good, spiritual, solid food by being here and ingesting the Word of God for your own self. Well done. Today, we are going to read Matthew, starting with chapter 12, verses 1 through 21, and then we'll jump over to Mark, right behind Matthew in chapter 3, and then we will take in Luke, chapter 6. This week, we are reading the New International Version, Matthew, chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope." Mark chapter 3. Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him, to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder; Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived, standing outside. They sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Luke chapter 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Okay, in the Gospels today, we hear a different narrative in the book of Matthew to which we have already read. And then we continue on in the book of Mark, and we have similar accounts of the passage in Mark from the book of Luke today as well. There's not too much today that isn't pretty much self-explanatory, except for maybe worth pointing out that we have our first account of the accusation of Jesus being demon-possessed. Now, this might sound crazy to some of us, but again, this is why we have to know what God calls good, good, and what God calls evil, evil. Because we often confuse the two. We can view things from a societal lens, go along with the norm, and call things that are godly evil. And we can miss the evil and call it good. We're just seeing this from a much more definitive vantage point today through scripture. It's important to know what is God's definition of good and what is evil. This is the continuous theme throughout the Bible. We confuse the two. We do things in the name of God that are evil, and we disregard and overlook evil and call it God, call it good. It's nothing but evil. And it's crazy that it's so simple, it's complicated. But the confusion comes when we do not know the difference or the differentiations between the two. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what the church says. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. It doesn't matter what the politicians will say. What matters is what the Word of God says. And when we are listening, it is clearly defined. With that being said, let's talk about our enemies today. Let's talk about what Jesus says about our enemies today. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. It's so simple, it's complicated, but it so much goes against our human nature. It so much goes beyond our societal norm. These distinctions, these differentiations are what separates us from the world. This is how we become the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure. Press down. Think about the brown sugar. You got to pack it down. Shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is not a prosperity gospel. This is cause and effect. Don't do what you don't want people to do to you, and it will come back to you. Listen, I'm gonna be real honest with you today. I don't have this figured out. I don't have this mastered. I would be embarrassed to tell you how bad I get this wrong. And this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here to tell you I am one of you. I do not have it all together. I'm not speaking from a place of perfection. I am speaking from a place of process. And I hope that we could all be willing to say that we are in the process. There's far too many speaking from a place of superiority, perfection, and if you just do this, you can be like me. That is not where I'm at or where I'm coming from or who I am. It is work. It is hard work, and it is rewarding work to do the work. So Jesus, thank you for your word. Help us today. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope that you're coming on the trip with us as we visit much of the Mediterranean. Not much, it's huge, but we're going a lot of places. Places that we have never seen before, never been to before, all very, very relevant to the New Testament of the Bible. And Brian and I are doing a bit of fact-finding fact-finding ourselves so that we could potentially curate something for this community, since Israel is so well-loved and such a beautiful place and trip to go on and be on, especially with a man that has studied, read the Bible for 20 years. The beauty of my husband is he has nothing to gain. He truly does not care about being a big time, big named anything. He wants as many to experience the Bible and to know God as possible. That is the pulse of his heart. And so we appreciate your prayers, as we are probably there by now and getting settled in and fighting this jet lag that is undoubtedly upon us. And so we hope to begin this journey together in the next day or so. I hope you'll take it with us. If you would like to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you so much to each and every one of you. DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or you can give by hitting the give icon up at the top right-hand corner of your mobile app and look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you would like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. Or again, utilizing the mobile app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit submit, turn the wheel over to chronological, and it will get to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. Pack your bag. Until then, love one another.
Hello, DABC family. This is Renee calling in from South Africa. I'm so happy to let you know that I have passed my board exam for admission as an attorney here in South Africa. I have been praying for this, calling in for, I think, the past 3 years. And God has finally answered my prayer and I've passed the ethics exam. I'm so happy and delighted to share with you guys. And I also just want to extend my gratitude to each and every single person that has called in, that has interceded on my behalf, and those that have interceded on my behalf in private. I'm truly, truly grateful. God bless you. And I just want to also share another praise report that I've just realized that although I've been with Daily Audio Bible Chronological for 4 years now, this is my first time reading for the Bible, well, listening to the Bible from January and up until October consistently. And I just want to praise God for that. Thank you.
Hello, this is Kathleen from Colorado, and I'm calling to ask you to pray for my two sons. My oldest son, Jacob, has made a lot of bad choices in his life, and he's gotten fired from numerous jobs. He is unemployed now, and he needs to find his path and move on and do something with his life. He's 25, and it's just been bad choice after bad choice. My youngest son, Samuel, graduated from college in May. He has been unable to find a job in his area of computer science and cybersecurity, and he's getting frustrated and downhearted. He does go to church. He is a God-fearing young man, and he just needs someone somewhere to help him get that first job and do something and do what he wants to do with his life. So I'm asking you to please pray for my boys, Jacob and Samuel. I certainly would appreciate it. Again, Kathleen from Colorado.
Hey, family. This is your sister, Kim, from Kentucky. Very unusual for me to call in twice in such a short period of time, but it's October the 7th. And I'm calling in because I remember 2 years ago this day, because my firstborn son got married on this day, and it was a very busy time. And I did not realize until a few days later what had happened in Israel. And then actually I sort of forgot about that. And then in about January, I feel, or of the following year or so, Altali Halley started calling in and reminding us of the names of the prisoners that Hamas took on October 7th, 2023. And I appreciated that so much because it reminded me that while I was in a day of celebration, then that tragedy, there were people going through just a tragic circumstance, and there are still prisoners there. And we've not gotten there yet, but when we get to Acts, in chapter 12, verse 5, it talks about the church fervently praying to God for Peter, who was in prison. So, Lord of Heaven, I lift up these prisoners from October the 7th that are still held captive. I know you came to bring freedom to prisoners, and these are literally prisoners that need free. And that is my prayer for them, God, that we will not see another year go by that they are not released. In the mighty name of Yeshua, I pray. Amen.